Welcome back, everybody, to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks Podcast, a proud member of the Hockey Podcast Network and the official podcast of Left Wing Lock, your number one source for fantasy hockey intelligence. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, Bruce Gunther, John Enns, and Tyler Holman. Boys, what's happening?
Hello. We're admiring John's new setup.
We are. Actually, so John was quite upset after last week's episode. He went and he invested in his setup, has a nice new mic, the same mic I'm using, and we had some problems, John?
And it was absolutely horrid. Like like I said, like listening to the episode after, I was just so disappointed that it sounded the way it did. And so I'm really hoping that the tinkering that we did during the week has resolved the issue. I really hope so. Yeah, no, I'm excited for tonight's episode for sure.
Cool. Good stuff. I should give a shout out to Jordan. He was texting me earlier. He's a listener of the show. He said something along the lines of keep up the good work, John. He was impressed with your work last week, your shitty audio aside.
Oh, was he? Awesome. Yep. That is great to hear.
Is that John's cousin? How much did he pay him for that?
Yeah, it's usually John's cousin. We get kind words for sure.
No, he usually harps on me, my cousins, but
there you go. Well, episode 49, Bruce, we're quickly approaching episode 52, a full year of doing this, and
it's been awesome.
Yeah, I have to say it's been a ride, man. We've had a lot of fun. We've got another big guest coming up here later on this coming week. I won't mention who it is, but for anyone that's listening, as you know, on Monday morning, definitely tune in for next week's episode. We might have a bonus episode maybe on Saturday or something, but either way, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be centered around the trade deadline and some information there. Should be a lot of fun. This week, though, this episode, we're going to focus on NHL Week 20 waiver wire picks and preview. And I think let's just jump right into it. John's list. John, take it away.
All right, this week's player on the list, with the recent news of his comeback, so to speak, none other than Sean Avery.
Yes.
I'm sorry, the guy's just trash, and not just in a hockey sense. Just don't like the guy at all. He's seems like a bit of an ass all the time, so there's I don't know what else to say about him. Like, anybody who hates on my guy Marty B, he's no.
I don't think you're gonna get much of an argument from anyone in this podcast.
No. Well, I'd hope
Sean Avery's an asshat.
Yeah.
there was a video like a week before he signed that contract of him playing shinny in like beer league or something like that.
I saw that.
He was awful. Like, he couldn't even stand up barely. Like, it should give you hope, Devin, that even with your bum knee, that you could actually sign an ECHL contract. You might not play a game, but if he can do it, I'm sure any of us could.
There's hope. Just to totally get off the rails here for a second, I may be making my return on Tuesday.
Oh God.
To some beer league hockey.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wow.
My knee's feeling pretty good, actually, Tyler. I've been running up the berm with Nathan. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So it's feeling good. It's not clicking anymore. So I told the guys I could potentially get back on Tuesday.
So Wednesday you're coming into work with crutches or?
Or an ECHL contract.
you trying to go for some sloppy seconds.
My bet is is the crutches for sure.
I hope not. I just, again, going back to our discussion about visors and cages and stuff, I still have to, I probably am going to go buy a cage just because I took a stick or a puck in the mouth before I last played, so.
You got to put the old cheese grater.
Connor needed one today.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But anyway, let's get back to John's list. I totally sidetracked us there. Yeah, he's an asset, to quote Tyler. And I was quite happy to see that he got cut there shortly after his
the next day. The
absolutely next day. That was the icing on the cake there.
Yeah,
just he got his, I don't know, I was gonna say 5 seconds of fame, but didn't even last 5 seconds, so
no, it was short-lived, that's for sure.
Yeah, just the icing on the cake on that one.
Cool. All right. Anything else there, guys? Any other kind words for Sean Avery?
None.
You suck.
Hang him up, bud. All right, let's move on to Fantasy Lock of the Week, February 21st to the 27th, presented by Left Wing Lock. This guy, he's made an appearance here once or twice, I think, already, but I had to go with Mitch Marner again this week. 9 points, 4 goals, 18 shots, almost 20 minutes a game. He's got 17 points, 7 goals in his last 10 played. He's on pace for 103 points. I mean, that performance the other day, was that last night? Yeah, it was last night.
Yeah.
4 goals, 2 assists. Gets his first career hat trick in a 10-7 game. When's the last time you've seen a 10-goal game?
Beer league like last year, but I don't think in the NHL. I don't know.
That's been a while.
Probably, I turned that game off after the second period. It's like, oh, this game's over, and I was doing something. All of a sudden, I look at my Twitter account. How about this? I'm like, holy shit! It's like 8-7. It's like, what the hell?
I was watching it when it was like. When it was like 5-1, I was like, oh, this sucks. Like Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, and this is going to be a sleepy game to watch because it's over and it's middle of the second period. I'm glad left it on.
And no kidding.
Wow.
The last 10 minutes of the game was absolutely wild.
Yeah.
Well, and Tyler, you picked up Lucas Raymond off the waiver wire recently.
Yeah, you're garbage. I picked him up. And
hey, man, I had to make room on my roster for some other players, so...
I did it in both leagues too, and I left him on the bench in one of them. I think I'm still doing okay though. I think I'm still beating Bruce this week. So as long as that happens, I'm okay.
Oh, you're absolutely thrashing me this week.
Perfect.
Even though day I forgot to set my lineup and left like 40 points on the bench, it wouldn't have mattered. I'm still lost. So.
Marner had a pretty good night. So
yeah, he's been unreal so far.
He's shooting the puck now too, right? Like Marner's never been known to be a shooter, and he's shooting.
It's great. I'm glad I didn't leave him on the bench. Honorable mentions. Sorry, Tyler, a little dig at you. Honorable mentions for the week. Jack Hughes, 6 points, 1 goal, 2 power play points, 7 shots on goal in 2 games played. JT Miller, who had another multi-point game today, 8 points, 2 goals, 6 assists, 3 power play points, 1 game winner, 7 shots on goal in 3 games played. He's been great all season for the Canucks. John, I don't know if he's on your list, but he's a fantasy stud, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Like you alluded to, I don't like the guy, but he's putting up points, and he's playing great for that Canucks team. So, yeah, no, it's hard to knock that.
And then, of course, our own biased honorable mention here, Bruce, said you'd mentioned him earlier, is Derek Ryan. 35-year-old Derek Ryan gets his first career NHL hat trick, and then scored again today against Carolina. What else do you say? 8 shots on goal in 3 games. He's been good for the Oilers. That third line, along with Fogle and RNH before he got injured, they've been really good.
And even, I don't know if anybody watched the game today, like even today, he got the goal, but even after that too, since Woodcroft has come in and taken over, he's moved Ryan to the wing, and it's like he's in his 20s again. He's all over the place.
I think you and I were talking, Bruce, at work, and part of the problem was that Dave Tippett would sit Derek Ryan for 20 minutes at a time and expect that he would just come off the bench and be ready to go. And Derek Ryan mentioned that in an interview, I think it was on Oilers Now, and just said that it didn't work. And he's like, I'm getting old, right? At 35 years of age, if I sit for 20 minutes, the legs kind of freeze up. So,
absolutely. No. And the stat they posted today, so Woodcroft has been in, he's coached for 9 games now. In those 9 games, Ryan has 8 points.
Wow.
That's not bad.
Pretty darn good for a 35-year-old third liner.
To be fair, this is kind of more along the lines of what the Oilers were expecting, I think. When they signed
him. I
think
so too. Well, I don't, probably over the course of the full season for him to do it in 9 games is fantastic. But yeah, over the course of the season, yeah. So if he keeps this up though, that's fantastic, right? It's
not
to get secondary scoring like that. They haven't had that in a long time.
Yeah. Well, and that pass from Fogle, that saucer pass, like.
It's just, yeah.
Yep. Not bad. Okay. Well, that is Fantasy Lock of the Week. I guess before we move on, too, we should just talk about Mike Smith. A bit of a bounce back performance. There were some people actually that were on his case again on Twitter today, and they're upset that the Oilers lost. But I mean, from my perspective, I think for the Oilers to lose 2-1 to Carolina on a back to back in an afternoon game without RNH and without Puljujarvi and without Yamamoto, like, is anyone here upset about that loss, really?
No, I watched the entire game. That first goal, he had no chance on the fact that he even got his glove close to that puck.
Yeah.
Was amazing because that puck was just, Carolina had that puck just moving.
Yeah.
Like it's, if the Oilers were to play defense like that in the playoffs last year, they would have beat Winnipeg. Like they were playing well today, really well. Even though Connor took a stick in the teeth and missed most of the first period.
He sure did. He's fine though.
But that whole team played well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm feeling good about how they're playing right now. I actually am a little bit optimistic, cautiously optimistic.
Well, and like you said, Smith had a bounce back game. There were some saves there that some Carolina players were just standing there looking at him like, how the heck did you catch that? Like, it's so.
Yep.
Well, I think Koskinen set the bar yesterday, and Smith knew that if he wasn't going to do that today, he was going to be sitting a long time, right? So maybe we'll see how long this lasts, right?
If I had to venture. Sorry, go ahead, John.
That's just the problem with him, though. He has, like, two really good games where you're thinking, okay, he's good enough to be on the team, and then he goes for, like, 2 weeks and he sucks. So it's like, yeah, sure, he's got a couple good games, and then it's just downhill, and you can't win anything by playing goalies like that.
That's fair, John. Consistency's been a problem with Smith. And the goaltending in general. When they get hot, they get hot. I would venture to guess we're going to see one start for Smith next week and two starts for Koskinen, if I had to guess.
That's how I would see it, too.
I still want to see more Skinner, but that's just me.
We will.
I think
in due
both
time.
Of them would have to go off the rails completely for that to happen. But
yeah,
I don't think they want to put too much pressure on Skinner yet this season.
All right, let's move on to headlines with the Hacks. News and injury updates for February 21st to the 27th. Our partner, Left Wing Lock, has a complete up-to-date list available on the website for all players on the COVID protocol list. And I actually had a chuckle because I think Mike put something out there that said there was no players on the list now. So it's a minimal list, which is great. So I may just phase that out here moving forward. But just so you know, there is a list there you can review. Kicking it off here, Vitek Vanacek, TJ Oshie, and Justin Schultz were all back in the ice for practice on Monday morning. TJ Oshie played, Schultz played, and Vanacek actually just got reassigned to the AHL for a conditioning stint, so he should be back shortly. I don't know what to make of that goaltending situation in Washington. I've got Samsonov in a couple different leagues. That guy, he's a lot like the guys we just mentioned, Smith and Koskinen, where he'll have a game where he's got a 970 save percentage, and then it's like an 840 save percentage, and he's brutal, so keep tabs on it.
At least they're young, though.
Yeah.
Like, really young.
In theory, they should get better.
You would hope so.
Elias Lindholm, Aaron Ekblad, and Jake Ottinger are the NHL's three stars of the week. Lindholm, I think, was on an 8-game point streak, and Jake Ottinger's basically taken over the net in Dallas. He's been very, very good for them. Carter Hart was expected to start Monday, had an eye infection, so he did not start. Ustimenko backed up Martin Jones. Mike keeps joking about the bidding war for Martin Jones between the Oilers and whoever the other team was he mentioned. not happening, not happening.
I don't think so.
Ryan Dzingel was claimed off waivers by the San Jose Sharks. Elias Lindholm.
There was a nice joke running around Twitter. So Dzingel goes to Toronto, gets put on waivers, right?
Yep.
And then Adam Brooks earlier in the week, also too, put on waivers and picked up by another team. The teams that picked up both players, they were playing on their both teams' top six the next day after they were picked up.
Yep. Not surprising. I thought it was nice that Kyle Dubas actually told Dzingel, like, don't come here, because we're going to waive you. So he didn't pack his bags and head for Toronto. He just said, like, you're not going to play for us. Like, just stay home. So I thought that was kind of nice.
Yeah, that's... He'll fit in nicely in San Jose. They need the help.
Yeah. Yeah, he's shown he can be productive in the past.
Yeah.
Elias Lindholm scored in his 8th straight game and extended Calgary's win streak to 10 games, tying a franchise record. Guys, I know we don't Another like it. As Oilers fans, it's painful, but Calgary has a damn good team. There's no denying that at this point.
Another good season for Lindholm, right?
Yeah, Tyler.
Tyler's just shaking his head.
I'm denying it at this point.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all I got.
Tony DeAngelo left Monday's game against the Flyers with an upper body injury. We later found out that DeAngelo is going to be out for about the next month. And then everybody rushed out and grabbed Jacob Slavin. And actually, he's been pretty good here. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Actually, pretty good all season, I think. And now he's really getting some time on the power play. So, like what you see from him. Jake Muzzin left the game against Montreal earlier this week and did not return. He's in concussion protocol, I think, now, right?
Yes, he is.
Lindy Ruff confirmed that Dougie Hamilton would make his return on Thursday against the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was actually pretty good. I think he had some good category coverage, 5 shots on goal, 4 hits, 3 blocks, I think, something around that. And he played about 20 minutes, didn't really get much for power play time. And that trend's kind of continued for these first couple games. So if Severson, like, we're going to talk about him a little bit later, but definitely a recommended pickup. If he's available in your league, he's still getting power play one time, even with Dougie Hamilton back in the mix. And it's only through 2 games, so Hamilton owners, I don't think it's time to panic, but something to note anyway. Patrick Laine scored the OT winner against Toronto on Tuesday night. It was Laine's 2nd goal of the game and 12th in 9 games. Tyler, you have to be pretty happy with that production.
Yeah, I'm totally okay with it.
He's pretty streaky.
Yeah, he's pretty streaky, but when he puts it together, he can do it for a long stretch. He goes cold, but he scores goals, so.
That's what you want in hockey, so. Matt Zuccarello did not participate in warm-ups on Tuesday. He was out with an upper body injury. Carter Hart remained out with an eye infection on Wednesday. Jones started again against St. Louis. Dylan Larkin left practice, but no worries there. Zdeno Chara tied the NHL record for most games played by a defenseman with 1,651. And then, of course, he broke that record a couple nights later. Any big Z fans on this podcast, guys?
Oh, yeah.
That fight,
I love Chelios's comment, though, too. That was nice.
That fight was awesome, too.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, who did he fight? He was quite a bit smaller. I mean, everyone's smaller than Chara, but
really?
But like substantially smaller.
Zeal, something like that?
It was a rookie, too, which is just the best because he didn't go easy on him either.
No.
He's an animal.
Nope. No.
I just lay ham to him.
I never really feel like Char is giving it his all, though. Like, when it comes to the physical stuff, I always feel like he's kind of holding back a little bit because he knows he could kill somebody, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, you look at those fights, and it looks like he's not... Like, he is pulling his punches a little bit. All he does is ragdoll you a few times, and then...
Yeah. He gets his point across, right? Like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
With his head advantage, all he has to do is just pick the guy up by the back of his neck and just hang him there for a while. It's like, okay, swing. Got the reach thing, right? So it's like, slap him a little bit, drop him to the ice, done.
No, but a pretty impressive career for Chara anyway to this point.
I think he'll play as long as he wants to. There'll always be someone wanting to sign him. He'll be able to play for as long as he wants.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. This is interesting. Former Ducks GM Bob Murray joined the Flames as a scout. He's going to operate on the West Coast. I guess he went through his treatment program and he's got a clean bill of health and he's ready to roll. Apparently he's still an asshole, but I mean, he's going to be an asshole on the road. So
perfect fit in Calgary.
Tyler, when do you join the squad?
That'll never happen. That'll never happen. I won't let him.
Sorry.
I won't let him.
I had to say it.
Trevor Zegras recorded the 52nd point of his career against the Sharks, tying Dustin Penner for 2nd most points by a rookie in franchise history. And Vladimir Tarasenko scored his 40th game-winning goal, tying Bernie Federko and Gary Unger for 3rd most in St. Louis Blues history. Tyler, I think that's another guy you picked up this year too, isn't it? Tarasenko.
Yep. Yep. He's actually been really good. I took him pretty late too.
Yeah. A lot of people weren't sure if he was going to play much this year.
Yeah. Took a swing on him. So.
Thomas Chabot played in his 300th NHL game against the Minnesota Wild, posting one goal and two assists in a 4-3 win. With a goal against the Oilers on Wednesday night, Corey Perry became the 103rd NHL player to score 400 goals in his career. John, I know you don't like it, but you can't argue with the numbers, man.
Yeah.
I'm
not going to argue it, but no, I don't like it.
The Oilers got parried again.
Son of a bitch, eh? With two assists, Morris Seider sits in third place for rookie scoring with 37 points and 5 goals. That was earlier in the week, and then he put up some more points throughout the week, too. So,
had a few on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. He looks good. Josh Anderson suffered an upper body injury against the Sabres, did not return to the game. He's fine. He's back in action, so no worries there. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins played in his 700th NHL game Wednesday against the Tampa Bay Lightning. 515 points, 192 goals in his career to date. John, you've got a Nugent-Hopkins jersey hanging behind you. How crazy is it to think he's played 700 games already?
I feel old. It's crazy, honestly. I would have been with age wise, I would have been in the same draft year as him. And even though I suck at hockey, so let's be real about this, it would never happen.
I'm glad you prefaced that by.
Hey, I went and played hockey with my nephew the other day. I lit him up.
Right. Okay. Good.
He may only be 6, but that's beside the point.
This is details. Just details.
Right?
Yeah. Hopefully Nuge is okay. He's missed a couple of games here now. That hit against, it was Ryan Lomberg hit him, and it looked harmless enough, but hopefully it wasn't his collarbone or anything like that. He kind of winced and grabbed his shoulder right away and then skated off. Maybe it's just a dislocated shoulder or a separated shoulder, something like that, he won't be out too long, but no news today. They just said he's day-to-day.
Yeah. Did he already have a shoulder done too? Because remember there's a run on I think Eberle and Hall and I think PRV all right around in the same season all blew up their shoulders.
Yeah, he had shoulder issues.
Yeah.
It was probably well after those guys were there, even though I thought he was nagging him for a long time and he was out for 6 months or something, I thought. But
yeah, that was a few seasons ago.
Yeah. So fingers crossed it's nothing, because it was nice to see that third line finally be productive. The Los Angeles Kings are looking to acquire a left-shot defenseman with some term, according to David Pagnotta. There's interest in Jacob Chychrun. So he's a guy, I think we're going to talk about him in the waiver wire ads too. He's around 50% owned. We've talked with Mike about him. Mike's mentioned him as a guy who could have a real big second half of the season. It's probably going to be tough in Arizona, but if he goes to LA, there's a lot of potential there for him to actually do something. And he's going to play second fiddle to Doughty. We know that, but he should get some power play two time. He's going to play with some good forwards in the top six in LA.
It still baffles me why Arizona would want to trade him. I'm guessing it's for the haul they'll get for him, because I read somewhere that one of Arizona's untouchable players was Gostisbehere, and I'm like, how can you take Gostisbehere over Chychrun?
I saw that too. Yeah.
And I was like, it has to be for what they're going to get in return for Chychrun. It has to be, because otherwise there's not a chance in hell I would trade him.
Well, Tyler, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I just think it's where they're at in their window. They're not going to compete for a cup. They know that. There's some deep drafts coming up, and I think they're just, like you said, Bruce, they want to get a big haul for Chychrun and whoever else they can get, and if it doesn't fit within their development schedule, they're just going to sell off, right, and they're going to start over again for the eighth time.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. LA too, they have a bunch of guys that kind of fit the mold of what they're trying to do. Guys that are going to be either on their entry level or still restricted, and good players too. Young players that'll kind of fit in with what they're trying to do. I think for them too, the most important thing is that they're going to give up Chychrun with a couple of years left, knowing he's not going to resign. But they're going to get guys that they can control for a long time. And Arizona is not a place that people want to go. So you need younger guys that are restricted until they're 27 because you can hold on to them. So, and I think they want to kind of cut payroll too a little bit, just with how they've always been, really.
So they can afford that new stadium.
Yeah, that new big one.
I was going to comment, they have to cut some salary to pay for that, We won't get into it. That'll just make me angry.
Just a sore subject.
Oh, so brutal. Jake Muzzin was placed on LTIR. He's going to miss a minimum of 10 games or 24 days. Sean Avery, like we said, we won't waste any more time on him, but signed an ECHL contract. Nathan MacKinnon missed the Avs game against Detroit, but he did play Friday and over the weekend. Zach Werenski is not on the road with the team. He missed a couple games this week with a lower body injury. He's day-to-day right now. Elvis Merzlikins was placed on IR retroactive to February 17th, lower body injury. He actually started today, I believe, against Pittsburgh.
Yeah. He did.
Okay. Michael Bunting was fined $2,000 for diving during a game against the Penguins on February 17th. You don't see that very often.
He doesn't strike me as a player that would dive.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's pretty bad to get fined for diving. Like, yeah.
Did you guys see that clip? Serious
dive. I didn't see
Of Lindell?
No.
No?
No? Oh, man. I'm trying to think who cross-checked him, but it was three straight times, and the color guys were saying, like, this guy should get an Oscar. It's pretty good, right? Like, he was flopping. Like, it was so brutal. It was just painfully obvious. And it was three straight cross checks. And anyway, TJ Oshie made his return to the Capitals against the Rangers Thursday night. Jared McCann was placed on IR by the Kraken with an upper body injury. Cole Lynn was recalled in a subsequent move. Talked about Tony DeAngelo. He was out for a month. Joel Farabee is expected to return to the Flyers lineup on Saturday. I didn't check his numbers, so I don't know how he did, but I believe he's back. The Predators raised Pekka Rinne's number to the rafters on Thursday night. Rinne became the first Predator in franchise history to have his jersey retired. With a goal against the Capitals Thursday night, Mika Zibanejad has scored 20-plus goals in 5 consecutive seasons. There's a reason I like him, Tyler. He's pretty good. Patrick Laine extended his point streak to 11 games, the longest active streak in the NHL. He had 21 points and 13 goals over that stretch. Char, like we talked about, Parise scored his 400th career NHL goal on Thursday night against the Sharks. JT Miller scored 2 goals to reach the 20-goal plateau for the 4th time. Excuse me. Miller had a total of 4 points on the night, including a penalty shot goal in Vancouver's 7-1 win over Calgary. Mark Giordano scored his 2nd shorthanded goal of the season. Both shorties happened over the last 3 games. Austin Matthews scored his 35th and 36th goals of the season, surpassing Edmonton Oilers forward Leon Draisaitl for the league-leading goals. Toronto beat Minnesota 3-1. The downward trend for the Minnesota Wild continues, eh, Bruce?
But they've been playing against some good teams, too. It's not like they've been playing against some crappy teams, but...
yeah.
They've come out flat. They came out flat against Toronto. They came out flat against Calgary the other night. So it's, if you're going to do that, you're not going to win.
That's not okay, because you've already divested yourself of some Minnesota shares here this week anyway.
Yeah, I had at one time I had 6 Wild players on my one team, and I'm down to 3 now. So
that's bold.
I traded a couple away here over this weekend. So
yep, yeah, I think it was a reasonable trade.
Yeah, picked up one of Mike's. Guys to look out for. I picked up Brock Besser and Taylor Hall.
Yep.
So we'll see how it goes.
Yep.
I didn't even veto it, so.
What's that?
I didn't even veto it, so. It must have been okay.
Thank you.
Jonathan Huberdeau scored 2 points in a 6-3 loss to Columbus. With those 2 points, Huberdeau has 74 points, 18 goals, and he overtook both Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl for the league-leading points. He's had a phenomenal season. I know we talked about Huberdeau with Mike on Fact or Fiction you know, quite a few episodes ago. And he said, you know, I don't know if Huberto is going to be that guy that that sustains that production, right? There's only going to be one guy that sustained a certain level of production. And Huberto looks like he just might be that one guy this season. He's having quite a run, and I don't know if it's going to slow down, barring any sort of injury or something like that. Jesper Bratt scored twice against the Pittsburgh Penguins. His unexpected season continues. 45 points, 16 goals, and 46 games played. If any of you say that you saw that coming, I'm going to say you're full of shit.
No, not at all. It amazes me.
Pretty impressive.
Speechless.
Yeah.
Did manage to pick him up in one league, though, before everybody else got in there.
Yeah, I waited too long. I didn't think it was real, but he's just continued. It's pretty crazy. Merzlikins was activated from IR on Friday, served as backup to JF Berube for the game against Carolina. And actually, we'll talk about him later, but Berube's been really good in a limited sample size for Columbus. Mike Matheson is considered week-to-week with an upper body injury. Jake Allen started practicing with the team again. He's making some progress, but I don't know if it's going to matter the way that Montembeau and Andrew Hammond have been playing for the Habs lately. You don't even need Jake Allen.
In general.
Just ship him out. And no, the Oilers don't need Jake Allen. I'm just saying, like...
See, there's lots of teams looking for goalies.
I think you almost killed Tyler.
Yeah.
He almost fell off that chair.
He did. It was pretty close. Igor Sharangovich played in his 100th NHL game against the Chicago Blackhawks. He's been pretty good this year. With a 4-1 win against the Anaheim Ducks, the Kings took over second place in the Pacific Division, and Jonathan Quick became the third active goaltender to reach 350 wins. Trailing 3-0 to the Jets, Landeskog scored a hat-trick, helped the Avs score 6 unanswered goals in a 6-3 comeback win. Kyle Connor reached a 30-goal plateau for the fourth time in his career. Connor is the fifth player to reach that mark this season.
So you think the Jets are going to survive the trade deadline? Do you think the rate they're going, you think that Winnipeg's going to blow the team up? Or
I don't know. Elliot Friedman is talking about that on Saturday night, I think. It's tough because they've got some pieces there. They should be better, right? They've got a goaltender that has won a Vezina, is still young. Yeah. Like their D isn't that bad when you look at it on paper. Forward group is pretty deep when they're all healthy. But... I mean, Friedman was kind of speculating that they might blow it up this year, Bruce. Maybe not at the deadline, but in the offseason.
Yeah, it's just the team should be a lot better than what it is. It should be.
So, and they've kind of had this roster the way it is, you know, with the exception of a few pieces, but the core has been like it is for quite a while now.
Yeah.
And they've had limited success. Like they made it to did they go to the Western Final that one year? Or is it
they lost to Vegas.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, who knows? They've definitely underachieved this year, though.
Yeah, I would say.
They could get a King's ransom for Kyle Connor if they want to trade him.
Oh, God. That would be, yeah. There would be teams lining up to sell trade their firstborn for Connor.
Patrick Kane and Brandon Hagel each scored a hat-trick against the New Jersey Devils on Friday night in an 8-5 win. Hagel now has 18 goals in the season, good enough for a 32-goal pace over 82 games. It's rare you see a hat-trick from two players on the same team in the same game. Maybe even the same line. I don't know, but pretty impressive anyway what those guys did.
Can never count Patty Kane out, just saying.
No, that jersey behind you would indicate that.
Absolutely.
And Hagel's just increasing his trade value.
Oh, God. There was, I think it was your buddy Tyler Yaremchuk, Tyler, that on Twitter was saying, he threw it out there, and it just annoyed me. He said, would you trade Puljujarvi for Brandon Hagel? And
no.
Some people, no, absolutely not.
God.
Absolutely not. But there were people that were kind of on it, and they were criticizing Puljujarvi and all the rest of it. They kind of sounded like Tippett and Mark Spector. And anyway, we won't get into that, but I don't know on what planet you'd trade Hagel right now for Puljujärvi. Like,
would you trade Yamamoto for him though?
No.
Probably.
No.
Potentially.
No. He's just anyway, having, he's just having a good year. Like, yeah. I mean, lots of guys do that where they just have like a year where they score way more goals than they should. What's his ish?
What's his ish? I'd have to go look at his ish. I don't know.
Bruce, want to cover that one?
Let's throw this.
I don't even
Bruce.
Know how to look up ish.
let's throw this to Bruce. Indeed.
Let's go. Like take a look.
He's having a super good year, but I mean,
yeah. It's 22.2%, Bruce and Tyler, just so you know. His 3-year average is 15%. So,
yeah.
It's high. Not many guys sustain over 20% like we've talked about with Mike before.
What's Yamamoto's?
Well, let's just take a look. You know, the thing about Yamamoto that I'm not... Like, I just don't know what he is. Like, I like that he plays hard. He's hard on the forecheck. He backchecks. He gets in the corners. He'll hit guys if he can. But he doesn't finish a lot of chances. Like, I'm sure there's numbers you look out there and look at the percentage of scoring chances he's actually finished, right? But he just seems to struggle to put...
I think the problem with him is he is the perfect third-line winger. Not playing with McDavid or Draisaitl or playing in the top six on a different team where you don't have those two guys that you always just want to give the puck to, and he just always wants to give the puck back to him. Every time it's on a stick, he's looking for them. If he actually tried to shoot the puck, other than that, I can't remember what game that was that he just like completely missed, totally
like
empty
a wide
net.
Open net. Yeah,
wide open, totally missed it on the one timer. He didn't even have to one time it. He could have dusted it off and skated backwards and put it in the net if he wanted to. but
I know
think
the player you're talking about.
I think he's a third line winger that can kill penalties, forecheck, steal pucks, and score 15 or 20, and not play with the guys that he just keeps handing the puck back to.
Yeah, I like Yamamoto. I'm not seeing enough finish from him. Right, he can't, like you said, can't play in the top six or shouldn't be in the top six. Right, but I've heard a few guys talk about that. He likes to defer to those two guys all the time.
All the time.
So. His ish is 14.3%. So he's actually below his 3-year average, which is almost 16%. So there you That's go. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of other analytics we could look at, but I said maybe. I don't know. Probably not. Moving on here. The Hurricanes blank Columbus 4-0. Freddie Anderson reclaimed the top spot for wins among goaltenders at 28. Anderson has 3 shutouts on the season now. Carolina, they peppered Berube. 50 shots on goal, and Berube stopped 46 of them. 920 save percentage for him. So, like I alluded to earlier, he's played really, really well. I think we actually added him into our waiver wire picks that we'll talk about later. But realistically, they're just going to go back to Merzlikins. But, I mean, if Merzlikins falters, there's a chance he gets more playing time. I don't know if you guys are sold on the idea of Columbus actually making the playoffs. They were out 9 points last I checked. They've got time to make it up, but it's just the East is pretty much decided at this point. Does anyone here think Columbus makes the playoffs?
Nope.
Yeah. No dice.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to keep pushing, I think, but... with 2 goals against the Sabres, Jordan Kyrou reached the 20-goal mark for the first time in his career, on pace to score 35 goals over 82 games. I think we feel pretty good about letting our one listener know to go with Jordan Kyrou over Troy Terry. Because Kyrou was pretty damn good this week. We talked about Derek Ryan, talked about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, talked about that crazy game between the Leafs and Red Wings. Michael Bunting scored his 18th goal of the season, finishing the night with his first career 5-point game, taking the NHL rookie goal scoring lead. How crazy is that? Like, we were talking about Bunting in the offseason. Like, this guy, he comes from Arizona, 26% shooting percentage. There's no chance this guy was going to be relevant. Now he's playing beside Matthews and Marner, and he's in the race for the Calder. Like, it's ridiculous.
What's his ish?
Yeah.
What's his engine? We're gonna go back to that every time, I guess. Let's take a look, Tyler.
I did draft him too. I dropped him.
Did you really?
But yeah. I did. It's one of my last two picks.
So, to be fair, like he only played 26 games over his first two seasons, but he had shooting percentages of 20 and 26.3%. This year, he's actually well below his three-year average. He's at 15.4% of the season, and he's actually shooting more. He's shooting 2.3 shots on goal per game, which not surprising given the team, like the line mates he's playing with.
Well, yeah, Marner and Matthews, right?
Yeah, and yeah, I mean we could do a deep dive into that, but he's going to be in the Calder race now till the end of the season, I think.
Maybe he is young Hyman.
I think he'll be in the race in terms of points, but I think when it comes down to actually deciding the Calder, I don't think he's in it.
No, I think Zegras probably takes it.
I think you're looking at Raymond, Zegras, and Sider. Basically, Sider's got to break his leg if he's not going to win it. Like, really? Like
Sider's right there. Like, I'm with you. He's had a phenomenal season.
And the fact that he's, for a rookie defenseman, you can score as many points as you want. I'd give it to Sider right now.
Well, it's a harder position, like as a rookie, right? That's Tyler. I think you'd agree. Like to excel the way he has at that position, I think that does give him.
Yeah.
At both,
and they're
ends
not sheltering too. Him. He's playing top pair, right? They're not sheltering him at all. They're throwing him right into the fire.
Yeah, he's been impressive. Well, he was on my notes here to talk about in a second. So he had two assists on Saturday. He extended his point streak to 6 games. That's the longest amongst rookie D-men in franchise history. So he's kind of set some franchise records here this season. He's just been really good. Makes a good case for the Calder. Time will tell. Mitch Marner scored his first career NHL hat-trick, like you mentioned. He only played 15 minutes, though. I found that interesting.
That's efficient.
That is efficient. Remember that time, John, I traded you Seth Jones for Mitch Marner?
No.
It happened.
We did that?
Yeah, well, it was because Babcock decided that Marner wasn't a top six player and he was playing him on the bottom two lines for about 2 months. And you just got fed up and said, yeah, whatever. I need a defense.
That's right. I remember that now.
Yeah. And then I think like the next game he went out and scored 2 or something. It was funny.
Good old
Babcock. Sounds about right. Me getting shafted.
Yeah. Sorry, bud.
Always getting shafted.
The Tampa Bay Lightning took a 3-2 win in the stadium series against the Predators. 68,619 fans were in attendance on Saturday, making it the 7th largest NHL outdoor game to date. Steven Stamkos was the first star with 1 goal, 2 assists, and 5 shots on goal. Braden Point had a goal as well and reached the 20-goal plateau for the 5th consecutive season. John, I know you're a big fan of Braden Point. Yep, there's the nod.
Yes.
Did you guys watch the stadium series?
I'll be honest. I had family out all week, and I never had a chance to watch a single hockey game since last week.
Holy moly.
Yep, so all this cool stuff you're talking about with the Oilers and everything else, yep. Completely missed all of it.
Right over your head.
Yep.
Okay, that's fine.
At least I got Twitter to give me some updates, so
yep.
We'll go with that.
For sure.
That's how I had to do the stadium series, because apparently I didn't subscribe to Sportsnet 360, so I couldn't watch the game. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've got every Sportsnet channel except for that one, apparently.
And it wasn't on the other channels?
No, they went full Hockey Night in Canada on the other 4.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Tanner Jeannot scored his 18th goal of the season during the stadium series in Nashville. So he actually ended up tying Bunting for the league lead in goals scored by rookies. Tyler, we were talking with this guy last week. Tyler Toffoli, he's making Flames management look pretty good right now. He's got 3 points, 2 goals against... he had scored 3 points and 2 goals against the Wild on Saturday night. He's now got 5 points, 4 goals in 6 games. And he played just under 17 minutes on Saturday, along with nearly 5 minutes on the power play. So you pretty much nailed that one on the head, man. 57.5% power play share. It didn't take long. It took about 2 or 3 games of him getting nothing, and now he's pretty much getting top six.
I thought it was there. I thought it was actually going to take a little bit longer than that. So surprised, but figured it was going to happen.
Yeah. So there you go. For anyone that picked him up or had him already. Matthew Tkachuk scored 3 points, 2 goals in his 400th career NHL game. To date in his career, Tkachuk has 335 points and 136 goals. He's on pace this season for 95 points. He's already got 59 points, 26 goals, and 51 games played. None of us really like him as a Flame, but he's a guy I take on my team any day.
Would I even have him on my team? Oof.
Nah.
Yeah, I've got him on my Yahoo team, actually.
I hate it.
I mean, I'm enjoying the production. I'm loving the production.
I still hate it.
I feel a little sick when he scores.
Yeah.
With an assist. Sorry, what's that, Bruce?
I say the question is, if he keeps playing like this, is he going to be in Calgary next year?
I would say yes.
Are they going to pay him more than everybody else? Like, are they going to pay him $9 million to stay in Calgary?
Well, they got to pay Goudreau too, right? So
I think they
may have to pick.
I think they pay Tkachuk, and I think they pay Mangiapane, but I think they give him term at a lower number, and I think Goudreau goes.
Really?
Yeah.
Before this season, I would have totally agreed with you. I don't know if it's just the contract year, if that's an actual thing or not, but I mean, Goudreau's been really good this year.
He has been really good, but I think he's been good enough to price himself out of Calgary. And I think they would never let Tkachuk go anywhere. Just the identity of the team is kind of based around him. So
yeah.
I think whatever he wants is what he's going to get.
Well, he'll be the next captain of that team, right?
Yeah, probably.
Like,
because that's what made the Toffoli trade interesting, right? So because Toffoli's under contract for another 2 years.
Yeah.
It's Toffoli Goudreau insurance, basically. If Goudreau leaves, they've got a goal scorer there.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, right? Okay.
Yeah, pains me to say it, but I agree with Tyler. It hurts.
All right, with an assist against the Islanders, Anze Kopitar recorded his 15th season of 50 points or more. It was actually his 9th consecutive season with 50 points or more. Just a few last notes here. Vitek Vanacek, like I said, was assigned to the HL for a conditioning stint. According to Gordon Miller, there's wide support to ban Russia from all IIHF events for the remainder of 2022. That includes the World Championships and the World Junior Championships scheduled for August and December. It's kind of a hot-button topic right now. I think the KHL shot back and said if the IIHF decides to do that, they're basically going to punt all the imports from the KHL the second that gets handed down. So,
go ahead.
There's, what, 20 players, 25 players, import players?
Yeah, I don't they know can all, they actually have over there.
They can all go to the ECHL. I can go there with... Sean,
or Europe.
Sean, like, Avery's getting contracts. They've got contracts to give away, so
yeah, right.
Should leave Russia. Anyways.
I don't know if that's really a big loss getting threatened to get thrown out of the KHL.
No,
they don't. No, you can go play in Germany. Go play in Switzerland. Go play, like, there's lots of European leagues you can play in. You get paid.
Go play for Team China.
Yeah, you get paid a little bit less, but I'm sure they actually pay, because I know in the KHL their guys were missing checks and stuff like that because the team didn't want to pay them. So
for lots of horror stories.
Yeah.
And plus the KGB won't show up, right? You just kind of have to worry about disappearing.
You don't have to worry about it.
No.
Yikes.
You can say whatever you want about Putin.
Yeah, you drink some wine and play some hockey and go home. It's no problem.
Yeah, I think the worst, well, I'm not going to say the worst thing in that whole situation, but the only disappointing thing is in the, like, of course I'm thinking World Juniors, and the Russian rivalry is always a fun one.
I think,
yeah. But
I think too that if you have that, just with everything that's happening there, like, how does that game not even get a little bit political?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, how does that not get out of hand, especially being played in Edmonton, which has a huge Ukrainian base here, in the stands, on the ice, everything, just with everything that's going on. I think they don't have a choice but to ban them from everything.
That's a very good point, Tyler.
The other point that made out too is how many of those players, if they did decide to let Russia play, how many of them would figure out a way to stay in Canada and not go back?
Yeah.
That was a problem last time, right? They had, that's why the Russians team didn't want their team coming over, because every time they come over, they'd lose. They'd have players that would defect. They could run into that again, too.
Yeah. It's interesting. Interesting times we live in, that's for sure. Oliver Bjorkstrand scored his 100th career NHL goal against the Penguins on Sunday. He's got 8 points, 5 goals in his last 10 games. And then Barzal and Chara were both out against Anaheim on Sunday, considered day-to-day. It was then mentioned that John Gibson is actually, he was out for today's contest as well against the Islanders. And Anaheim recalled Lucas Dostal. So I don't know how significant that injury is going to be. I saw Mike tweeted something about it. So
it listed as an illness for Gibson.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, could just be an emergency call-up, but he's also not been very good lately. And actually, we'll get to that in Ask the Hacks, so we'll talk about that in a second. Last piece of news here, Bruce, this will make you happy. Jordan Binnington recorded his 10th career shutout against the Blackhawks in a 4-1 win.
How do you record a shutout in a 4-1 win?
Sorry, I say 4-0 win. My apologies. valid point, John. Valid point. It's been a long day, man.
Buddy's going off script.
You're going off script. Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. As a guy who owns Huso in a couple leagues, I don't want to see the resurgence of Jordan Binnington. I hope he just flounders. I'm going to throw that guy an anchor.
I'm looking forward to it because I own Binnington in two leagues. So yeah. I'm really looking forward to it.
Bruce, the other
really
day,
well for him today.
At work, you were, he was pretty good. He was pretty good in that last game, and I was just like denying it. Like, no, Bruce, he's terrible. The guy's terrible. He's not coming back. Awful.
Yeah, follow I'm just money. Hoping. Oh, sorry, Bruce, go ahead.
I was going to say, follow the money.
Follow the money.
I'm just hoping he sucks just based on what I said about him last week. So,
yeah.
I'm beginning to think Huso's going to get traded.
To Edmonton.
I'd be okay with that.
Anywhere. There's going to be a bidding war for him. Because there's lots of teams looking for goaltenders right now. So there's going to be if St. Louis did decide to trade him, because they've got Lindgren waiting there in the AHL too.
Yeah.
So if they did decide to move Huso, because he is a UFA at the end of the season, there will be teams lining up for him.
Well, they can't pay him, right? They're already paying Binnington, so.
Yeah. Like, they'd have to be able to move Binnington to keep Huso. But again, like he's kind of said before, is like for Huso, it's the goaltenders, like. He's having a good season this season. What happens? They come out next season and he doesn't play worth a damn. Then what, right?
Yep.
At least with Binnington, they know he goes through these ups and downs. So
to be expected.
See what happens. I'm hoping he's on the way up.
All right. That does it for Headlines with the Hacks. We're going to mix it up here. And John, I'm just going to throw this over to you, bud.
Oh, no. Yeah. The agreement was Tyler on this one.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to throw it to Tyler this week, but for the first time ever, we're going to have John do the ad read for us, so take it away.
What a relief.
Oh, man. The Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast is a proud partner of NHLShop.ca, the best source for all your officially licensed NHL apparel and merchandise. Follow the links in our show notes or on our website. Save up to 50% on select apparel now and get free shipping on orders over $99. Use promo code NHLFS99 at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details. Full disclosure, Fantasy Hockey Hacks may receive a small commission for your purchase, which helps us to continue providing original content and feed Tyler's gambling habits.
You nailed it.
Thank you.
And I have to say, that was actually quite liberating, just sitting here for like 30 seconds on having to talk.
You didn't ask how I did, though, this week.
Oh, how bad did you do?
Pretty bad. back-to-back parlays, Saturday, Sunday.
Ooh.
Two big winners. So
really?
There's nice. That.
Okay. Good to go for another week.
Turn $25 into $280, so...
Poly parlay.
Nice.
Poly parlay.
Nice.
Coming in clutch.
Love it. All right, let's move on to the next segment here, boys. Ask the Hacks.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. And I want to have them answered immediately.
Better rest of season value, This is actually funny. This is before the news of Jake Muzzin's injury, but the question was Jake Muzzin or Ryan Pulock, rest of season value, multi-category banger league. Tyler, who do you like there, Muzzin or Pulock? Assuming that Muzzin was healthy.
Oh.
you threw that one out.
It's a softball now. It's not even a question, but I mean.
I was so ready to just jump in there with my answer, but. I'm still going to say Pulock.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Throw
it to Bruce.
Bruce?
Yeah, I'm going with Pulock too.
Okay. Good John? Choice.
High five.
All right. 12-team, I mean a 12-team, five-player bangers keeper league. Who would you keep, Jordan Kyrou or Troy Terry? So like we said earlier, we talked about that one. That was the question that I answered on Twitter, and then Mike was like, I basically gave the exact same response as somebody in the left-wing lock forum. So I felt like I knew a little bit about the ish to be able to give that kind of response and Mike to give me a...
Get some high praise from Mike over there.
Yeah, I kind of felt like I knew a little bit about what I was talking about, so that was cool.
Watch out, Mike. He's coming for you.
Not a chance, but but Jordan Kyrou made us look good this week. Like, he's been really good. Had another goal today, so there you go.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Now, of course, you're going to hear from guys like Tyler who are going to try and sell you Troy Terry, tell you he's real good.
I was going to say Troy Terry. Maybe he's arrived.
Well, the ish. We'll just ignore the ish, right? And
yeah, ignore the ish.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Bruce. Like we kind of answered that question, but do you have a different take on it, Kyrou or Terry?
I didn't. Which one do you think is going to be sustainable? I didn't look at the numbers before the podcast here, but I think.
Yeah, I gave a really long explanation, and I say Kyrou.
Yeah, I would be leaning more towards Kyrou myself than I would towards Terry.
Okay.
Yeah, Terry has kind of cooled down the last little bit here. Well, from his pace he was on before, so.
Yeah.
I just made my decision based on strength of roster. Like, you look at the Blues roster he's got. There's lots of people there to play with that he can. Doesn't matter where he goes up and down. Say even the top nine in St. Louis. There's lots of great talent there for him to play with. In Anaheim, there's not much there. You got Zegras, maybe Milano, and that's about it.
Okay.
Raquel's not going to be there. Getzlaff may or may not be there.
All right, next question here. I'm thinking about offering Jack Eichel and Dylan Larkin for Kirill Kaprizov. I'm flush with centers and a bit short on wings. What do you think?
I will take that trade in a heartbeat.
You would?
If someone wants me to trade them Kaprizov for Larkin and Eichel, absolutely.
I knew you would, Bruce, the second I saw that question. But I know you also love the Wild and you love Kirill Kaprizov. So you've been on the Kaprizov bandwagon since last season.
Well, I like Kaprizov, but if someone offered me Eichel and Larkin for Kaprizov, goodbye.
Yeah.
I'd trade him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I like for me, because he was getting Kaprizov, right, this manager. So I just said, like, I'm not trading Jack Eichel and Dylan Larkin for Kaprizov.
No, if I was the guy with Kaprizov, absolutely. But if I'm the guy offering, no, I wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah. So he was trying to address some positional need on his roster, right, was all it was.
Yeah. Yeah, because the way Eichel will be going forward and the way Larkin's playing this season, that's a lot to give up for Kaprizov. A lot.
Yeah. And I like Kaprizov too. And you really like Kaprizov. But I mean, to trade away two pieces like Eichel and Larkin, no. No, thank you.
Because Eichel will be over a point per game before the season is over.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Next question here. Would you consider dropping Ryan Hartman for Clayton Keller? And I think I would, Bruce. I'd like your opinion on that, seeing as you just traded Hartman.
Well, considering Hartman just got moved off the top line, yeah, I would.
And you picked up Clayton Keller, who's been pretty good.
And I picked up Clayton Keller. I sure did.
Yeah. We'll talk about him a little bit more in our waiver wire ads. Not him specifically, but just related to him. John, any difference of opinion there?
No, just looking at like time on ice, things like that. Like his playing time is going down. He's not putting up points. His line's getting scored on a lot. So
okay, sorry, I'm just laughing at Tyler.
Oh no, I wasn't looking at Tyler. I'm worried.
No, there's a question here from an anonymous user. Just came in. We'll have to answer it once we get down there. This is an interesting question. It's come up a few times this week. I saw it on Reddit and a couple other places, but John Gibson, and we had this from one of our listeners too, is John Gibson. Apparently he usually goes through a slump in February. Do I keep him? Will he turn it around? I have Thatcher Demko, John Gibson, and Kaapo Kähkönen. 12-man league, head-to-head. Categories include wins, goals against average, saves, shots, save percentage, and shutouts. Matt Murray, James Reimer, Jonathan Quick, Elvis Merzlikins, and Alex Nedeljkovic are available. I mean, the only guy that I'd really seriously look at here for this would be Jonathan Quick. But I don't think I'm going to drop Gibson based on the fact that Kähkönen is playing about 50% of the starts.
And got murdered in his last two.
Yeah, and I mean, Gibson, yeah, he hasn't been good. He's been bad, actually, the last six or eight games. But
and you have to remember, too, that this is the first season that the Anaheim Ducks has actually been in contention at this part of the season.
Yeah.
At this point in time, they're just putting extra layers of protection on Gibson because he's been shell-shocked from however many pucks he's taken to the head and other parts of his body. So they're doing well. So yeah, he's having a bit of a slump right now, but I think he'll turn it around before the end of the season. He has in the past. He's carried him into the playoffs for how many seasons? I think he'll do it again.
Yeah, I think my only concern was when I looked at his numbers, his PK save percentage was something like 914, which Mike would tell you, and if you listen to the show long enough, that's a big red flag, right? Like he should be at about 865. So that's concerning, and his save percentage and even strength is down this year. So that could come up, but I mean, just looking at it, I don't think I'm dropping Gibson for any of those guys. John, what do you think?
And like you said, if you really wanted to do it, the only one I would do it for is Quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like looking at Gibson's last five games, he's the minimum amount of goals he's let in is 4. So in the last five games, he's let in 4, 4, 7, 4, and 4. Like,
ugly.
It is terribly ugly, but the rest of the guys on that list, yeah, I don't know. Like,
well, you look at it too. He's not the only one that's been that way. Gibson's been that way. Jari went for a week here with that bad. Saros, same thing. He's four games of 4 goals plus. So
yeah, and Merzlikins was doing horrible before he got injured. And
yeah. My advice here, too, was to consider just picking up Stolarz, who's been really good in, again, some limited sample sizes. But if you can kind of handcuff Gibson with Stolarz, especially now if Gibson's out for a couple of games with illness, you know, bring in Stolarz, see what happens.
He's done an admirable job when he's been brought in to do that.
Yeah. So just another alternative. But, you know, Quick's been pretty good, too. The only thing is, you know, Cal Peterson's been getting quite a bit of playing time too. So
I just don't look at Stolarz as night tonight's stats. It wasn't up. Pretty.
Uh-oh.
I'd still hang on to Gibson because I think as long as Anaheim is hanging around, they're gonna lean on him for the rest of the year. And he'll figure it out eventually. I'd rather have him than any of those other guys on the list.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
And yeah, Stolarz got shelled. So, I mean, with that, you know they're not going to lean on Stolarz. Okay. I didn't have time to research this one. I just got it from Jordan earlier. I think it was Jordan. What is the deal with Tori Krug and Miro Heiskanen?
Well, Heiskanen has a Klingberg problem, which might get alleviated here in the next couple of weeks. I just don't think Krug is a good... He's not a good fit in St. Louis. I know they signed him to big money in long term, but I don't think he's a good fit there for what.
Well, and I think sort of the resurgence of Falk has hindered his production too, right?
Definitely. And they've got a couple of young guys there too that aren't afraid to fire the puck too, so that doesn't help.
Yeah, like he was the guy in Boston on power play one. Yeah. He was always there, but it's a little different now.
Definitely.
Okay. Just in the interest of time, I don't think we should dig too much into that one. Do I drop Kaapo Kähkönen for Jeremy Swayman? That'd be a yes for me.
Yep, I would.
Yep.
Okay. And then here's our anonymous user submitted question. Binnington for Hart and Boldy. What say you, Hacks? Thanks. Love the show. Tyler's great. Okay, bye. And
okay, bye.
If you guys, I'm sure our listeners could guess who submitted that question, but.
Is that the trade offer you're sending me, Tyler?
Yeah, that's the one.
Don't worry, send it over. I'll accept it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to hold up.
What's wrong with it?
We're trying to ask the Hacks here. I mean, Philly's, sorry, Mike, but they're not very good this year. And I like Boldy. Boldy's been good. But there's probably replacement level players similar to Boldy that you could pick up. So for me, it's like it's Hart for Binnington. And right now it's unless it's a keeper league and maybe Hart's better next year, like there could be a case made. But I don't know. Binnington's trending up right now and Hart and the Flyers are not so much.
I think this question was more directed to Bruce anyways. Bruce, what do you think?
It's going to throw it to Bruce.
The difference isn't why I would do it right now is Carter Hart is starting. Binnington isn't. So if you need points or stats for your league, Hart is going to get playing time. Binnington hopefully will get more playing time, but that's all depends on Huso. If Huso keeps playing well, Binnington isn't going to play much.
Yeah.
So I'd actually make that trade.
Great idea.
All right, great that does too. It. Yeah, great question. Thanks. Thanks, listener. Anonymous listener. Wink, wink.
Watch him as he goes and sets his new lineup.
You guys do this every week. I'll be yakking and you're setting your lineups on your phones or sending trays to each other. Nothing new. All right. Hey, Bruce, how do you feel about doing a DraftKings ad read for us?
Hey, if you want me to murder it, sure, I'll do it.
Just take time. Roll through it and make sure it passes. There's no ish, yeah.
No ish? What do you mean there's no ish? Oh, God, I'm going to murder this. But yeah, I can give it a go.
Go for it.
As a member of the Hockey Podcast Network, the Fantasy Hockey Hacks Podcast is a proud partner of DraftKings. Hoops fans, the latest offer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, is too good to pass up. I'm talking between the legs 360 windmill good. The new customers can bet just $1 on any team and get $150 in free bets if they win. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state, you can still take your shot at a big payday. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with new DraftKings daily fantasy basketball contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at $1 million in total prizes with their first deposit. Take a breath. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $1 on any NBA team and get $150 in free bets if they win. That's promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook. An official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over. Minimum age and location requirements vary by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for a full list of requirements and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Oh, my God. Void where prohibited. Minimum $5 deposit. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the TN Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. In Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Good work, Bruce.
Beautiful.
Thanks, Bruce. How do you do, guys? I missed half that.
There's a slow clap out there somewhere.
Yeah, no, he did.
I massacred that.
Hey, it was your first time. It was your first ad read.
It was my first ad read.
Nowhere to go but
probably my last. I probably just got fired.
Nowhere to go but up. Okay, thanks, Bruce. I appreciate it. Let's
the
move
email
on.
From DraftKings is already coming through. Fire that guy.
Never, never. Let's move on to Edge Work, the segment where we do the work to give you the edge in your fantasy hockey leagues. NHL week schedule for week 20. There are a total of 50 games on the schedule this week, with the majority of the games taking place on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's a total of 8 teams that play 4 games, and one of them being Los Angeles that actually plays all 4 of their games on light days. Those are days with less than 50% of teams playing, and they generally fall on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. There's an additional 4 teams that play 75% of their games on light days. That's New Jersey, Buffalo, Dallas, and the New York Rangers. Arizona, Florida, and Pittsburgh do not play until Thursday, so if you have players from any one of those teams, I would look for some short-term streaming options, if possible, to start the week to try and maximize games played. Just really quick, Monday, 3 games, Tuesday, 9, Wednesday, 4, Thursday, 9, Friday, 7, Saturday, 10, and Sunday, 8. Teams with 4 games you want to focus on. First one up here is Los Angeles. Just like I said, they play all 4 of their games on light days or off days, so it's going to help you maximize your games played throughout the week. The Kings are also absolutely rolling right now, going 7-1-2 in their last 10 games. Since February 1st, the Kings are 3rd in the league with an unblocked shot attempt percentage of 57.4%, and they're 2nd in the NHL with a points percentage of .833, only bested by the Calgary Flames. Sorry, I just threw my mouth a little bit.
Spit.
Sorry, Flames fans. LA is also 8th in goals for per game at 3.83 and 14th in power play percentage at 21.1 during the month of February. They have not faced Boston or Columbus yet this season, but they've split the season series so far with Dallas, recently taking a 4-0 victory, and they beat Buffalo 3-2 on October 1st. Some players to consider there: Adrian Kempe at 50% ownership or rostered, Alex Iafallo at 21%, Philip Deneau at 22%, Victor Arvidsson at 49%, and Jonathan Quick at 52%, and Cal Peterson at 37%.
Hard to believe Kempe's only 50% owned.
Yeah, I was quite surprised by that, actually. We talked about him, was it last week or the week before? I can't remember. But we talked about him recently. Yeah, he's been phenomenal this year for LA. Teams with 3 games. We're going to talk about the Edmonton Oilers because they have a pretty good strength of schedule here, according to Left Wing Lock, at -38. The Oilers are 9th in the NHL in terms of points percentage for the month of February with a record of 7-4. They are 9th in power play, 25%. 12th in goals for per game at 3.45, and 5th in shot attempt percentage at 55.1. Edmonton has a very favorable schedule with matchups against Philadelphia, who is 3-5-2 in their last 10, Chicago, who's 3-6-1, and Montreal, who's 5-5-0. All games that the Oilers need to take points from if they have aspirations of making the playoffs. The Oilers shelled the Canadiens by a score of 7-2 on the 29th of January. They split the season series so far with Chicago, and they lost their first matchup with the Flyers by a score of 5-3 on October 27th. Players to give a look at there would be Ryan McLeod, Kyler Yamamoto, Derek Ryan, Evan Bouchard, Tyson Barrie, and Mikko Koskinen. Mike Smith, I think, is available in quite a few leagues too, if you're feeling adventurous.
Bold.
Yeah.
And if the first 2 games don't go well, you can stream Skinner for the 3rd game.
Like clockwork, Bruce. teams with 2 games. Nashville Predators, strength of schedule is -27. The Preds have actually struggled, and Bruce, you kind of alluded to this earlier with UC Soros, but they've struggled during the month of February with a 3-5-0 record, the 21st-ranked offense in terms of goals for per game played at 2.75, and the power play is running at 18.5%. However, the Preds have a favorable schedule for the upcoming week with matchups against Seattle, who's 2-7-1 in their last 10, and San Jose, who's 2-4-4. Those teams are currently sitting 8th and 7th in the Pacific Division, respectively. Nashville split the season series with Seattle so far this season, but most recently beat the expansion franchise by a score of 4-2. Nashville took the first game in the season series against San Jose, a 3-1 win on October 26th. Some players to look at there: Tanner Janot, Ryan Johansson, Michael Granlund, and Dante Fabro. Tanner Janot, if you're in a bangers league, he carries a lot of value, in my opinion. The guy can score goals, he hits.
All-around good guy.
All-around good guy.
I've got him in our podcast league.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Look at you, Bruce.
He puts up some very nice points when he doesn't score. He puts up some nice points nightly. For yeah.
A nice high fantasy floor.
Definitely.
All right. That does it for the schedule. Let's move on to NHL Week 20 waiver wire targets. If you listen to the show, you know that we focus on waiver wire targets that are typically 50% rostered or less. Of course, we make some exceptions where we feel it makes sense. We will kick it off here. Nico Hischier, 26% rostered, 4 games on the schedule for next week, and he's playing with Bratt and Zacha and Power Play 1. John, what do you think?
Wowzers. I've been waiting a long time for this. I've been a fan of Nico Hischier for a long time, and just seeing how well he's playing lately. Like, yeah, 9 points and 6 goals in his last 6 games. He's fire. I like it.
Yeah, he's been playing great. And I was kind of like, I can't remember who Tyler was talking about last week, but the guy who always leaves you wanting more, that's kind of how I felt about Hischier until this year. He's actually seemed to show up with some consistency this year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that's got me really excited.
Yeah, that Devils roster looks good moving forward.
Which makes me really excited. They've always been my number 2 team, 2-3 team since I was a kid, and seeing the good things come out of there, I'm excited.
Is that because you're Marty Brodeur?
Absolutely.
Affinity, yeah. Okay. There you go. Next year, we got Josh Anderson, 17% rostered. He's got 3 games on the schedule for next week. I've got him in here just because Cole Caulfield and Nick Suzuki have been playing so well, and the fact that he typically covers categories to a reasonable degree. Bruce, any other thoughts on Josh Anderson?
I've actually been eyeing up Anderson here when he got... I was considering picking him up until he got hurt in that one game, and I picked up... I picked up Caulfield instead, but with the two of them playing with Anderson playing with Caulfield and Suzuki, I think that's going to be a very nice matchup. They've done well for Marty St. Louis here since he's put them together, and I think they're going to be a very dangerous line here going forward.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, category coverage aside, he's on pace the rest of the way for 24 goals and 42 points.
No, which is a nice season for him.
Yeah. So we'll take that. This one, I saw Pete Jensen had mentioned him on Friday. I think it was Friday. Yeah. And you know, we had him in here, you know, earlier on in the week. But that's Victor Arvidsson, left wing, right wing eligibility for the LA Kings, 49% rostered. Like we just mentioned, 4 games on the schedule, all on off nights or light days. He's playing in the top 6 with Deneau and Moore, and on power play 1. Now, at the time of writing, he was on a 5-game point streak, and he had 10 points, 5 goals in his last 10 games. He's also shooting at a career-best 3.8 shots on goal per game.
That surprises me.
That's huge. Yeah. Nope, he looks good. On pace for 63 points and 28 goals over 82 games. Next up here, we got Jamie Benn. I actually picked up Jamie Benn earlier today. With the news of Nuge going down with injury for who knows how long, I need somebody who could, you know, replace some face-offs. Ben does that to a degree. He's got, in his past 10 games, he's got 9 points and 4 goals. He's playing with Tyler Seguin and Denis Kurianov, but he also does a nice job covering penalty minutes, shots on goal, hits, and face-off wins. So any difference of opinion there on Ben, guys?
Nope.
No, you're not going to get anything different from me.
Okay.
Yeah, and it looks like Sagan's kind of picked it up a little bit too over the start of his poor season. So, yeah, I think things are just starting to get rolling for Dallas here.
And I look too, and it seems like Ben's worked his way into that power play one role again, and they're actually utilizing him more in that position.
Yep, good on him.
Yep. Ricard Raquel, 16% rostered, left wing eligibility, 3 games on the schedule for next week. He's playing with Zegras and Henrique and on power play one. He's in a contract year. He's a UFA for the Ducks. 7 points, 6 goals in his last 8 games played. He's on pace for just 47 points, but 26 goals over 82 games. So the guy that can score you close to 30 goals over a season, he's only 16% rostered. I'd take a look at him. Good shot volume at 2.8 shots on goal per game. What else can you say about the guy?
After a slow start, like you said, in the last 8 or 10 games, he's picked it up as well. So, and with Zegras, obviously, you're going to get some exciting playmaking there. So, no, that's good on them.
Okay. Bruce, any other thoughts there?
Wow. Not really, no.
Okay, fair enough. And just for our listeners, Tyler's not abstaining from speaking. He's just dealing with some business right now, so he'll be back shortly.
just the typical, like, sitting in the background.
he's making deals. He's wheeling and dealing right now.
Yeah, he's working on his latest bets.
His next parlay.
Calling his bookie. Yeah.
All right. He likes the waiver wire ad, so he's lining him up.
Yeah, I was going to say either that or he's phoning someone to get off the podcast, because otherwise we're going to make him do an ad read or something.
Oh, yeah. He was trying to avoid that like the plague.
And he bets this phone call ends as soon as we're done the waiver wire ads.
Oh, could be. Yeah, could be.
Shoot, probably. I don't know. Looks pretty intense over there.
He's focused. All right. Next up here is Zach Parise. 5% rostered, 3 games on the schedule for next week. Before Barzal went down with injury, he was actually playing with him and Palmieri on the top line and on power play two. I wouldn't generally recommend the guy just because, I mean, he's past his prime, right? He's towards the end of his career here, but he's getting some nice deployment. He's been productive in his last 10 games, 9 points, 4 goals with Barzal at even strength, like I said. Schedule's not great for next week, but, I mean, given his production, and Bruce, you like this, looking at his ish, it's 9%, and his team even strength shooting percentage is 6.8%. So there's some room there for some positive regression. So I think we'll see more from him. I mean, another guy you could look at too from the Islanders is Brock Nelson. And you guys bug me about that all the time, but Brock Nelson's been good this year.
Parise just seems to find a way, right? It's just when you count him out, he'll get a, like here, he's playing with Palmieri and Barzal. I'm not sure with Barzal who they've put up there with them now, but it just seems that when you need him to step up, even though he hasn't done much this season, they needed him to step up, and he does it. It's just like a switch for him. He just flicks a switch, and away he goes. It's
the guy's
amazing
a gamer
to see. Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, like Bruce said, he just finds a way to get it done, and that just shows in his 400 career goals. Right now, the guy's playing, 13, 14, 15 minutes a night?
Yeah.
And like you said, he's put up 9 points in his last 10. So, no, good on him for still being relevant.
I think some of those veterans, too, they've been around so long, they just kind of wait until, the trade deadline to actually start playing hockey.
Yeah.
You know, they've gone through the motions for so long, they start gearing it up when it matters, right? So, give him a look. Another one here that's interesting is Jacob Voracek. Left wing, right wing eligibility, 47% rostered, 3 games on the schedule. He's playing with Jenner and Laine on the top line in Columbus and on power play one. And this is an interesting note. He's currently tied with Mikko Rantanen for 3rd in the NHL with 28 primary assists at all strengths.
That makes no sense.
No.
That's a fact.
He's just trucking him to Laine, and Laine's hammering him into the net.
Basically.
That's basically all that's happening.
Yeah. He's on pace for 61 points, mostly assists, 57 assists. but he has reached the 20 goal plateau 6 times in his career. And the fact that he only has 2 on the season through 50 games tells me that we could see some pretty serious regression coming from that guy over the next 30 games.
Well, look at his line mates for this season. It's Jenner and Laine. Laine's found his scoring touch again, and Jenner's scoring. So he's just lining these guys up.
Yep.
He's just teeing them up and letting these guys hammer it away. That's nothing wrong with that.
Jenner gets the puck, forecheck pass it to Laine, and they score. It's a pretty simple formula, right?
It's working.
Yeah, Voracek's getting 62% of his shifts in the offensive zone, 68% power play share, and I'd give him a look anyway.
Absolutely.
Next up, Nick Schmaltz. Tyler, we got you back. He's with us. Okay. I was just telling your listeners you were calling your bookie, so we'd hear back from you soon. What's that? Oh, his mic cut out him.
He's still broken.
We got it all sorted out. We're good now.
Okay, good. Glad to hear it.
He's not taking my Jeep. We're good.
Oh boy, Tyler would start World War III over his Jeep. Let me tell you.
Would be Russia's got nothing.
Yeah,
I think I know a guy.
Tyler, yeah. All right, next guy up here, Nick Schmaltz, center right wing eligibility, 6% rostered. Just two games on the schedule for next week, but this is a guy I'd maybe look at for stashing for the remainder of the season. He's quietly been very good. He's got 25 points, 11 goals in 33 games. He leads all Coyotes players in terms of total points per 60. That includes Clayton Keller, Bruce. So Nick Schmaltz is at 2.73 points per 60. Keller's on pace for 73 points this year, and Schmaltz is on pace for 62, I believe. But he's got 9 points and 6 goals in his last 6 games played.
What's his ish?
I was going to say, what's the ish?
19.3%.
It's in there. 19.3%. You nailed it. Yeah. His 3-year average is 12.5%. So his ish is a bit of a concern, but
a little bit inflated.
His ish is iffy.
His ish is iffy. Oh, that's a new T-shirt.
It's Arizona.
Idea.
They need all the help they can get.
Yeah. Well, I was just looking. Yeah.
They need inflatable ishes in Arizona.
Shoot. No, I was just looking at the second half of January. Sorry, Tyler, I cut you off. I'll let you finish in a minute.
No, really.
I'll let you finish. Hey, Taylor, I'll let you finish.
But no, I was just looking at his stats from the second half of January until now, and I went, holy crap.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. He's playing well.
And the word's not out yet. At just 6% rostered, it seems like either nobody knows or nobody cares.
I'm going to say nobody cares.
Arizona, nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Very well could be the case, but either way, solid production if you're looking for a center / right wing. Connor Brown, Bruce, we talked about this guy last week. I believe 11% rostered, 4 games on the schedule for next week, but it's kind of that murderer's row except for Arizona. So they got matchups with Tampa Bay, Florida, Arizona, and Vegas. He's quietly on pace for 62 points this year.
Yeah, it's another good season for him, right? He put up 20 plus goals last season.
Yep. And he's averaging over 20 minutes a game, time on the power play. The only concern with him on the power play is I think when Batherson and Norris come back, that's going to take a dip, right?
Yeah, he'll get bumped to the second one probably.
Yep. His ish, because I know Tyler's going to ask about it. It's below his 3-year average. And his team's even strength shooting percentage with him on the ice is at 8.6%, right around league average. He is currently ahead of players like Claude Giroux, William Nylander, Lucas Raymond, Taylor Hall, and Brady Tkachuk in terms of total points per 60 at 2.04. Little tidbit of knowledge there for you.
Wow. His TP,
the look of excitement on your face is just wow.
His TP over 60 is pretty good.
His TP over 60. Tyler, man, these are all, you better write these down. These are T-shirts. These are future T-shirts.
These are good.
Okay, let's move on to defensemen here.
Oh, no.
Jeff Petry, 53% rostered, 3 games on the schedule. The tough thing with Petry, he's not getting any power play time. He's gotten basically nothing through February.
Well, this makes me feel good for not ever wanting to recommend him then.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 5 points, 2 goals in his last 5 games played. He's been better. I think he's going to try and raise his stock a little bit with the trade deadline coming up. Like, he wants out of Montreal. I think he's going to push to play better over the next few weeks.
I think someone told him if he wants to get traded, he's got to play better. He's been playing better as of late. Well, the whole team has been playing better as of late.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, my only concern is he still hasn't gotten back his power play time. But if he gets moved to a contender, he'll have a chance to put up some more offense too. Damon Severson, I mean, we talked about him earlier. Just the fact that he still has maintained his power play deployment with Dougie Hamilton back in the lineup, I think is telling of how the team feels about him as a player. He's only 27% rostered. He plays 4 games for next week. He's got 16 points and 3 goals in 17 games in Dougie Hamilton's absence. So he really stepped up for the team. I think they'll continue rolling him out for the foreseeable future.
Or until he tails off.
Yeah. Yeah, John. How do you not, right? And if he does taper off, Bruce, like you said, they've got Hamilton sitting there. So it kind of looked like they were starting to give Hamilton some more time. I think he was at about 49% power play share in the most recent game. So we'll just, I mean, they got to work him back, right? He's playing with some alterations with his broken jaw and stuff. So,
well, if you look at both the power play units that Jersey's rolling out, they've kind of evenly distributed their players nicely over both. So I don't know if it really matters which one he's on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Jacob Chychrun, 52% rostered. Again, we've talked about him lots. Mostly, I think you're going to pick this guy up, just hoping that he's going to get moved to contender. Because his value right now in Arizona.
He's got to get the shifts in, right?
Got to get the shifts in, Bruce. Son of a bitch.
Bruce beat me to
every time.
I feel like we're playing sociables every week, and you guys are just putting the thumb down, and I'm just like, I never get it. I'm always the last guy to put my thumb on the table.
So I had to mention his shifts.
Yeah. Yeah. Good one.
I think he had a goal and assist today, too.
Oh, did he?
Chicker did. And a bunch of shifts. So.
And a bunch of shifts. Okay. Good one. Good one. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, the other thing, too, is Mike recommended him. Mike feels strongly about this guy having a better second half, so I feel good in that, and I can trust what Mike says.
What Mike says goes.
What Mike says goes, yeah. It's pretty much gospel. Pretty much. The other guy here is Mark Giordano. Well, I get a couple more defensemen, I guess. But Mark Giordano, 49% rostered, 3 games for next week. He's playing on the top pairing with Larson and on the power play. He's got 5 points, 2 shorthanded goals in his last 7 games played. He does contribute nicely to hits, blocks, and he's probably going to get moved at the deadline.
He's going to be a very nice pickup for whichever team wants to pay the premium for him.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I was hoping for retirement.
I think he's going to have to probably have a pretty bad injury before that'll happen. He'll be playing for a while yet.
Yeah. He's not going to get the same power play usage on a contending team, but still a guy to take a look at.
Definitely.
And then kind of the subsequent move to look at there is Vince Dunn at 25% rostered, because when Giordano gets moved, Dunn's going to take over power play 1 in Seattle. Not that it's a great power play, but there could be some value there, especially in deep leagues. Jacob Slavin, we talked about him earlier, 63% rostered. The Hurricanes have 4 games on the schedule for next week. And with D'Angelo out now for the next month, Slavin's value has gone up and up. He's on pace for 49 points, which would be a career best. He's posted 7 points, 1 goal in his last 9 games played. He saw 80% power play share with D'Angelo out of the lineup.
Yikes, that's a nice number.
Yeah, you like that.
But yeah, he'll get the opportunity until D'Angelo returns.
Yep. Okay, we'll move on to goaltenders here. You know, it's funny sometimes. You go through some of these picks and they look good until they get shelled. And Grice, I think in his last game or two here now, hasn't looked so good. But
yikes!
Well, if you take Saturday's game into account, none of the goalies played well.
No,
on either side of the net.
No. But the reasoning for having Grice in here is that he's 6% rostered. He's been stealing starts from Nedeljkovic recently. He had 1 game between January 9th and February 9th, and until recently, he had started 3 of the last 4 games for the Red Wings, and he put up a 2-1-0 record with a 2.63 goals against average and a .922 save percentage. So he'd been pretty good. And then the other thing, too, his PK save percentage at .806 does give us some hope for positive regression, right, further. So I know Detroit, they can struggle defensively. We just saw that yesterday. But maybe not a terrible ad if you're looking for some goaltender help. Because we've seen him play well too, like when he was in playing for the Islanders. He like, I know, again, defensive system, Barry Trotz, all the rest of it, but.
Well, you look at what they did to Toronto, right? They were down, like, I turned the game off after the second period because I thought the game was over. And 10 minutes later, it's, holy crap, it's 8-7, right? So they can, Detroit can put the puck in the net too if they want to. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. They were doing well at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, like you said, he's going to have run support. So maybe the peripherals aren't great all the time, but if he can still get you some wins, that's helpful too.
For sure.
Cal Peterson, 37% rostered, 4 games on the schedule. Like, we talked about the Kings already, but Quick and Peterson have been, you know, sharing the crease 50% over the last 20 games or so. You know, Peterson's peripherals aren't great, but he's managed to post an 8-2-0 record over his last 10 games, and they've got a nice schedule for this week. So, No, go ahead, Bruce.
I was going to say this is almost where. Kind of like we were with the Islanders last year, where you'd want to roster both of them. I think in a case between Peterson and Quick, I think this is almost the way, as well as LA is playing right now, is where you'd want to carry both of them, because they're basically, they're switching out. It's one game or the other. They're going back and forth.
Yeah.
And as well as they've been playing, it wouldn't hurt if you can do it, roster both and just flip back and forth, because that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, Bruce. Okay, JF Berube, we talked about Columbus earlier. We talked about all he's been playing, but he's posted a 3-1-0 record with a 3.25 goals against average and a 924 save percentage. Pretty good stuff from him. That 46-shot game against Carolina the other night made things interesting. And the Blue Jackets are 7-1-0 since February 1st. So they've been hot. If you can grab a guy like Berube, if you've got Merzlikins, maybe that's a nice handcuff. Even just a streaming option. If you're looking for the upcoming week here, like, they've got games against New Jersey, LA, and Boston. So those are a couple winnable games anyway.
Yeah, no, for sure. And for I guess, handcuffing both of them there, with Merzlikins coming back and actually playing decently tonight, I'm a little concerned on what effect that's going to have for my whole Berube situation, because I was kind of hoping that Merzlikins was going to have a bad game, to make this simple, but Merzlikins played well, so, and with Berube playing well, it's just going to be a split, I think. So
yeah, because Korpisalo is on IR right now.
Yeah,
so yeah, nice handcuff option anyway. And then the last guy we really wanted to focus on here was Sam Montembeau for Montreal, 8% roster, 3 games next week. He had managed to win 3 of his last 4 starts, posting a 3-0-0 record. Let's just say 4 appearances, not 4 starts, 4 appearances. A 1.32 goals against average and a 958 save percentage, as well as a 4.54 goals saved above average. What else can we say? He's been really good. He's played a lot of games for Montreal. And with the team playing better, not a bad option if you're looking for some help in goal. The other guy there, like we mentioned earlier, was Andrew Hammond. He's got a 2-0-0 record with a 1.44 GAA and 949 save percentage. Some other goalies to consider here: Laurent Brossoit, Matt Murray, Anton Forsberg, Scott Wedgwood, who since January 28th has a 3-2-0 record, a 1.81 goals against average, and a 952 save percentage. Any other thoughts on goaltenders, guys?
Those are actually some nice streaming options. Oh, because LB is going to be in the net till they figure out how long Leonard is going to be out for. If he's, I think he's practicing again, but I don't think he's played. But LB is a good fill in there. And for all these guys, like Murray, Forsberg, Ottawa is playing well.
Yep.
Montembeau and Hammond, Montreal has been playing well. This week will be a good test for them.
Even Scott Wedgwood, even, right? Like, I was surprised how well he's been playing.
He's been done well, considering he's down in Arizona there. Absolutely.
That's a bit of a change from what we're used to. Usually, streaming options are pretty light on tendies, and and well, quality ones, I should say. And no, there's some guys putting up some good numbers here. So
definitely.
Yeah, I was also surprised looking through the waiver wire this week because there's not usually much to offer in terms of goaltending help, but this week was a bit different. So there you have it, guys. That is episode 49, NHL Week 20 waiver wire picks and preview. We've been talking for a long time. It's almost an hour and 45 minutes now, so
wowzers.
Probably shouldn't continue much past more, Devin's but
bedtime.
If you made it this far as a listener, thank you. We appreciate it. And you know, for anyone listening, we're going to make sure we have the timestamps in there as always. Bruce, thank you for looking after that. So it'll be in the blog. If you just want to go into the show notes later and check out the waiver wire picks, they'll be there. FantasyHockeyHacks.com. Give us a follow on Twitter at FHHacks, on Instagram at FantasyHockeyHacks. We have a Reddit subreddit now. And that pretty much does it for this week. What's up, John?
No, you're talking about the Reddit there, and then I just thought of the one guy.
Oh yeah, this is trash.
Trash.
He's obviously not a listener. Yeah, he's not a listener of the show, and that's okay. We're gonna get some people that don't like what we're doing, and you can't please everybody, right?
We appreciate your non-educated criticism, sir.
Yeah. Have a good day.
We don't know everything. We don't get everything right. We take our best to take a stab at things, and sometimes we make mistakes. But hey, that's part of it. And fantasy hockey she's a bit fickle sometimes. So
yeah, no question. All right, and I guess I'll just mention one last time, guys. We do have a big guest coming up later in the week. We're all excited about it. We're not going to tell you who it is yet.
Oh man, it's just killing me.
It's no, we're excited. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
He's a big deal
in the space. We're happy to have him on. So if you have questions, please submit them. Hashtag ask the hacks, send them over through social media, through Reddit, through our website, fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com. lots of options. Anyway, thanks again, guys, for listening. We appreciate it. Looking forward to another one. We'll talk to you boys next week.
Good night.
Bye, Felicia.
Take care.